I can put this down. This month of February, many are celebrating different things. One, for African Americans, they celebrate Black History Month, going over some of the positive contributions that African Americans have made in this country. And also, it's the month where we celebrate two of who we believe were some of our greatest presidents, George Washington and then also Abraham Lincoln. They call it President's Month. Excuse me. I'll just put you down here. And then also for lovebirds, men and women who have fallen in love with each other, we celebrate what the world calls Valentine's Day. And I never knew Valentine, but I used to celebrate Valentine's Day. I used to like to get the box of hearts and just eat it for the candy. Amen. I just like that part. The candy was always good. I was never one, although I'm learning, I was never one to just put one in my mouth. I always had to have a mouthful. You know. Anybody ever had a Smartie? And that was another one of my favorite candies. Still is to this day. I can chew some Smarties up. I have to have the whole pack. I'm sorry. I just can't put one in my mouth. It's just not complete. But, I unravel the whole thing and put it all in my mouth and chew it up. Well, we're faced with a generation that's now snorting Smarties. And I'm like, you don't snort Smarties. You eat Smarties. But that's just how backwards we've gone and how desperate people are to try and fill a vacuum within themselves. They keep exploring and trying different things, trying to satisfy within them this emptiness. And so they venture and they explore in areas that God never intended us to venture and explore in. We live in a time where many of the things that we read now in the scriptures are right before our face, and it's gaining more and more momentum. I saw a commercial that came on last night, and it was a commercial that was encouraging those who are confused in their identity to go ahead and change their identity to what they're confused by. A commercial. That's just how, boldly people are pushing an agenda. Sister Lamar, she put out on Facebook this article about this individual. About 52 years old, something like that. Was he 52? Anybody? Something like that, 50. That's like, he's younger than me. There's no excuse, but, 52 years old, and he's been abusing this girl since she was a teenager. Just like that guy, Garrido, or whatever his name was, who lived not too far from here, and had J.C. Dugard in his possession all those years, and I think she conceived like two babies by him through constant rape, and it got her to the place where she accepted it as if that was going to be the way it was going to be for the rest of her lives, but then one day she got her freedom. But we live in a crazed and mixed up world, and I don't even need to tell you that, you already know. We can go through statistic after statistic after statistic. And, it's not about me, but I smoked marijuana, so I know personally the damage that marijuana can do to you. And yet we have states that are legalizing its use for recreational use now. First it was the medical. And, they always say, well, we just want it for medicinal purposes, and there's always something else behind it. They want more. You get greedy. Colorado and then other states, I think Washington might be following suit, of just legalizing it for medicinal purposes. And even in that, it's all about money. You know, more revenue for the states, more revenue for the cities, all this sorts of stuff. And Paul talked about those things as well, the love of money, that it's the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money, not money itself. Money is just a means of exchange. But the love of it, greed, if you will, is the root of all kinds of evil. And that's, you know, even as a child of God, and Sunday after Sunday, as Sister Jernigan comes up and shares, and today was a good sharing about the sowing and the reaping aspect, and just about how she went to Adonai Zedek, I think, I forget what his last name was. But anyways, you know, he sowed and he reaped. He cut off 70 kings' right toes and or big toes and thumbs. And so the same thing happened to him. But Sunday after Sunday, she comes with a teaching, brief teaching, exhortation about tithes and offerings. And, you know, that's all about teaching the sons and daughters of the Most High God stewardship in the kingdom. We can't, as the people of God, and we're more than just the people of God, but the people of God is good for us to be recognized as, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's what this new creation in Christ Jesus is all about. It's not all about just, you know, religion and just the worship of God. You look in the definition, you know, you look the definition up in Webster's Dictionary and read about faith or read about worship, if you will, faith. You know, faith, I think they define it as the worship of a god or deity, something along that lines. Belief and trust in. But we go beyond that in Christianity. Jesus didn't come to establish a new order of religion. He came and laid his life down so that we would become sons and daughters of the Most High God, that the righteousness of God could be imputed to us, that we'd be better off than what Adam was and Eve, even before they sinned. He comes to restore us to our rightful place in the kingdom of God. And as such, we live by the kingdom that we are born of and represent. Jesus says this. He says in John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, talking about being born again, and you've heard this before, but, you know, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom. And unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom. So seeing the kingdom and entering into the kingdom reveals that there's a kingdom. And in the kingdom, you live by kingdom rules, kingdom responsibilities, kingdom order, kingdom establishment. In the United States of America, we live under the United States of America's laws and rules. We can break those laws, and if we get caught, we'll pay a penalty for it. But we live under certain laws and rules, whether we like it or not. You may not like paying taxes, but you still have to pay taxes. So in the kingdom, and as she shares, you know, each week about the giving, it's about stewardship. Because we don't want to allow ourselves to be governed by a system and governed by a way that does not represent the kingdom that we've been birthed into. The kingdom that we now see and understand. Am I making any sense? If we govern ourselves the way we were in the world, we will do ourselves a disservice in the kingdom. If we continue to break the laws that have been established, and this is not legalism, because people are, you know, putting a lot of stuff out there saying, you know, it's like if you preach the word, it's legalism. Is like, no, you preach the word, you learn how to live as sons and daughters. The word is not trying to teach us to live like we lived before, but teach us how to live as sons. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. You're not trying to get that power. You receive that power to be.
Within that power is the ability to be holy, to be righteous. You're not trying to get righteous. You are righteous. Be who you are. That's what happens. You get birthed into the kingdom, and now you can see things. And what you don't know, you can find out. But this word of God reveals to you about the kingdom. And so even on the issue of money, God doesn't want money to be our master. That money would dictate what we're going to do. Money would rule us. The writer in the book of Proverbs says, a fool and his money will soon depart. So if you're broke, you might want to check out the foolish spending. I know I have to let that go. If we find ourselves in financial hardship, we need to just consider. Because being poor doesn't represent the kingdom. Neither does being rich represent the kingdom. Adequate provision represents the kingdom for the position that God has you in. Amen. And it's not all given by osmosis. It's learned as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And daily we should be growing into that place, that position of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. That should be a constant. We should never be the same. We should be ever changing. Amen. So, I want to share some things with you today. Some things I shared briefly with you on Wednesday. But I want to deal with some stats. As I said, about that individual and what he did to that young girl who's now a young woman, all those years, you know, they give him, 20 or 22 years. Because, you know, if he does, you know, good behavior and all, he could probably get out in 11, if not before. It's just a, you know, it's just a slap on the hand, slap on the wrist type thing. Because they don't regard that kind of a violation as serious as it ought to be regarded. Ask Simeon and Levi if you want to know how to, you want to know how to handle something like that. Who's Simeon and Levi? They were two sons of Jacob. And when their sister Dinah was violated by Abimelech's son, I think it was named Abimelech. When they were violated, when she was violated by him, they didn't appreciate the way Jacob handled it. And so this individual loved Dinah. He was infatuated with her, and he took advantage of her. And so what happened was he wanted to marry her. So these brothers got together and say, on this condition will we allow you to marry our sister. All of you men, every last one of you, be circumcised. They thought nothing of it. Okay. Because he was so in love. So in love, he made his entire nation, group of people, all the men. And I think it was about the third day or so. I forget what it was, but it was when it was most painful to the man. That those two, Simeon and Levi, went through the camp and killed all of the men. Vengeance. And why did they do it? Because they violated their sister, and that was an embarrassment to the entire nation of Israel. Woo! Thank God we don't live in those days and times. Amen. Praise God.
Put a lot of men in they make them think twice anyways, but get a lot of men in shape. And praise God. But let me share this with you, because another article came out, and it's not about the articles, but it is to make bring an awareness to us in the body of Christ. I'll start by saying this. This was a poll that was done back in 2008, and it's from two sources. One source is Wikipedia. Don't always trust what Wikipedia puts out there, because some things are put by people and it may not be true. But also Barna Research had similar stats, which were very close. And I do have some confidence in George Barna and his research. And so anyways, he says this was back in, I think, 2008 or maybe, yes. 73% to 80% of Americans profess to be Christians. Only 9%. Now, 73% to 80%, that's pretty good, huh? You would think. What's the population of the United States of America? Is it like 350 million or something like that? Is it that many? It's somewhere in there. You know, so that's a good percentage of people. You know, that's like 250 million or more, something like that, probably more, that profess to be Christians. Now, imagine that. Imagine 73% of a nation of sons and daughters of the Most High God. Imagine 73% to 80% of a nation of men and women and children walking in the power of the Spirit of the living God, all believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can't enter, we can't see, we can't comprehend the kingdom. We cannot be saved, because we know that there's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one who died for the sins of the entire world, and through him the world can be saved, and that's Jesus. And Jesus said this, he says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe in me. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. In my name, they lay hands, dot, dot, dot." He lists those things that, and some would say, well, you know, that was added on later. But all we got to do is read the book of Acts to see that it actually happened. So for those that say, well, that was added on years later, which they all try and do in order to invalidate the word of God. It did happen in the book of Acts. And it has happened outside of the book of Acts. And it still happens in 2014. People still get baptized in the Holy Ghost. People still get healed. We start declaring and decreeing a thing, and it's established. People are experiencing debt cancellation. Some might say, well, yeah, you know, they just couldn't pay their bill. It doesn't matter. It's just like the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He says, you will not go out empty-handed. He made Pharaoh and the Egyptians pay Israel for those 400 years of captivity all in one night. And they came out loaded with all Egyptian spoil. And when Egypt came to their senses, they went out after them. And they thought they had them trapped, because the Red Sea was in front of them and all of Egypt's warriors were behind them. But God gave Moses a word. He said, "What is that in your hand? It's a rod. Stretch it out." And he stretched it out, and the Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel went across on dry ground. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to do the same, God drowned Pharaoh and his army in the sea and canceled all the debt. So we give God glory for those debt cancellations. for the 150, for the 50 or 60, for the 130 or 49. How much was that other one? 112. For the 95 plus, for the 139, for the 33,000. That ain't just no coincidence. Our God is in this. Our God is in this. And so imagine 73 to 80% of a nation that has sold out Christians. Imagine 73 to 80% of Israel. When Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and all of the others were preaching the gospel, in one sermon in less than 3 minutes, 3,000 souls came in. Days later, 5,000 came in. And then persecution came in, and the people went everywhere spreading the word of God. And they turned their nation upside down, so much so the people that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Let me introduce you to the church. Let me introduce you to the real church, not the religious church. The religious church consisted of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It consisted of the scribes. It consisted of those who were religious but really had no relationship, who had the word but had no power. It was a bunch of people that were into themselves. They wanted the attention, so they would stand out on street corners dressed in their royal robes. Hear me pray. Watch me fast. And Jesus will say, see that right there? That's their honor right there. That's their honor. He says, don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't look to be seen of men. Don't look to be approved by men. Don't look to please men. Look to please God, the one that has birthed you into his kingdom to live for his glory, because you are his offspring. Don't try and please our God with worldly ways. Please him with what he requires of us, because anything less than that is unkingdomized. And I can talk. Don't try and change God. You allow the change and transformation to take place in you, because there's nothing wrong with our God. Hallelujah. There's not a thing wrong with him. He has no reason to repent of anything that he has ever done. He's perfect. The epitome of perfection. So 73 to 80%. Imagine. Can you fathom that? 73 to 80% of the Apostle Paul's, of Peter's, of John's, of Matthew's, or Bartholomew's, Simon's, 73% of Andrew's, walking around the United States of America. I'm telling you, Brother Larry, no state in this union would be safe from the kingdom of God and his power and might. Devils would leave America instead of habitating in America. But this is what the statistic says. Because see, everybody almost wants to go to heaven when they die. Everybody wants to express a little bit of faith about God. But listen to this statistic here. Because of the 73 to 80%, that profess to be Christians. Now, mind you, on average, 90% of America professes to be religious. That only leaves 10% of heathens. Now, if 90% profess to be religious, belief in some deity or some god, they are actively engaged and involved in some type of worship, they acknowledge religion, How is it that so much wickedness goes on in the land? Only 9% said religion was the most important thing in life. So of that 73 to 80%, only 9%. That's just less than a tithe. Take their relationship with God seriously. Only 10% think that their religion or their relationship is the most important thing in life. You know, when Gideon had gathered the army, you can read in your Bible, Judges chapter 7 onward. When God called him, I'm not going to deal with where he was hiding out at trying to keep his harvest, but when God called him to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Midianites, Gideon had with him 32,000, I think, soldiers. And so God said, Gideon, you got too many. Gideon probably said, what? You got too many. Tell all of them that are afraid to go home. And I think it was 22,000 that left, leaving 10,000 remaining. So everybody in that group was not necessarily a believer, even though they were of the children of Israel, heirs to the commonwealth of God. God said, for every one of them that is afraid, tell them to leave and go home. And they probably couldn't wait. They caught hat. Then God tells Gideon, he says, Gideon, you still got too many. Gideon probably saying, what? Oh, two-thirds have gone. And you telling me I still got too many. Yeah, you still got too many. So take them down to the waterfront. Everyone that, I'll just describe it, laps the water and brings it up, you know, like a dog would lap. That's the one I want you to single out. But everybody that put their face down into it, those send them home. So Gideon is okay. And 9,700 of them put their face down in the water, while only 300 did like God said and lapped it while watching. Because that was the key. Keeping their eyes out for the enemy. Well, the other ones really didn't care. So you have in the body of Christ those that are, they understand we're in a battle, in a warfare, we're in a conflict. And so they understand we got to be on the walls, we got to be ready. Oh, we have needs, but we have to take care of those needs while watching. Watch and pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. We ain't got time to be so consumed with ourselves that we bury ourselves in this worldly stuff that goes on and we forget about who we are and why we're here. So he had to send 9,700 home. And he's like, I ain't got but 300 left. God says, now we're ready. Now we're ready. Now we're ready. So you can see, 73 to 80%, just bear with me just a little bit longer. 73 to 80% of this nation declares that they are Christian, but only 9% of them actually believe that their faith is the most important thing to them. Well, what do the others believe? So glad you asked. Now, when I say this, I know it puts me out on an island and people can misconstrue what I'm saying.
But I can only qualify it by saying this. If we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we'll know how to love everybody else. If we love everybody else and then give God the leftovers, then we'll continue to be messed up. It's a hard pill to swallow, but I'm so thankful that my Lord revealed it first. This is what the rest of the people are consumed with. 45% said family was paramount. In other words, the most important thing in their life. 17% said money and career was paramount. Poll shows that only a few Americans consider religious faith as an important part of life. Now, Barner says 90% of Americans identify themselves as belonging to one religion or another. Only 12% identify faith in God as the highest priority in life. Barner research. 45% that the family was the most important thing in life. 20% mentioned health, leisure, and a reasoned way of life. 17% opted for career, money, and success. In 2006, 16% of Americans held faith as the most important thing in life. In 2008, that number had fallen to 9. So that's a 7% drop over 2 years. And if we continued on that path by 2010, then it would be like 2%. Because 9 minus 7 is 2. Which would mean here in 2014, nobody thinks faith is important or the most important thing in life. And when we, for the sons and daughters of God, I'm not talking to the pretenders, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, I'm not talking to the non-believer, but for the sons and daughters of God, faith has everything to deal with your relationship with the Father, that you are sons, and therefore you are the family of God. Which means you consider your earthly family more important than your godly family, and as such, God's priorities go to the wayside while we tend to these earthly problems here in our own strength and might, because we won't consider him. God disclosed this. I'll say this probably for the first time in no uncertain terms, which means you cannot be confused by this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all of your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. God wants me to love him with everything. And the awesome thing, what's the awesome thing? Read your bulletin, it's in there. It's not that we loved him, but that he loved us. The awesome thing is that he pours his love. Comes in the kingdom. He pours his love into us. Can you receive it? His love transcends, excels, surpasses, supersedes our ability to love. That's why Jesus could say, love your enemies. Why? Because we now love with agape love. We now love with the love that is greater. Jesus was teaching us something. Yeah, he's teaching under the old covenant. All of that's under. No, he's teaching us how to live in the future. He's teaching us about what's to come. Because when he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church, he's still building his church based on those principles that were disclosed in the word of God. Excuse me for getting excited. I know it doesn't sound good on the microphone or in the. But his love transcends, it excels, it supersedes. So we can love our enemies. We can bless those, Deacon Aquino, who curse us. We can pray for the people who despitefully use us. How can one have such patience? Only by the grace of God.
and receiving of the patience that he releases out of the attributes of the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Some traits are more dominant in others than they are in others. It's because we've received that portion, an aspect of the Spirit of the living God, and it stands out strong. But imagine this. 73 to 80% of this nation, Spirit-filled. You know, we ain't arguing with God about doctrine. We're not arguing with him about whether the things of the Holy Ghost is passed or not. If there's enough believers that are experiencing it and they got the lifestyle to back it up, it must be God. Because the thing of it is, see, a devil is smart. A devil loves religion. Because religion, he can creep in and, you know, take over, control and manipulate. But a child of God that's full of the power of God, he is afraid. He's shaking in his boots. He will think twice about coming after you. But religion, he loves to dominate that because it's a system of worship and he wants to be worshiped himself. That's still in thing. He feels. He still thinks he's going to exalt his throne above the Most High God. So, just imagine. Out of the 73 to 80% of Americans, all believing that their faith is the most important thing in life. Because it's not faith in faith. It's not faith to get a job, faith to get a car, faith to establish a career, faith to get a breakthrough, faith for a miracle. No, it's faith in God. That is the most important thing for us. As his sons and daughters, faith, fidelity, loyalty, and commitment to our God, that our allegiance is unto him. It's not to man. I can love my wife and she can love me, irregardless to our shortcomings, irregardless to our personalities and differences. I told her the other day, all of us got quirks. You define quirks the way you want to define quirks. I define quirks as shortcomings. All of us do. Some stand out more than others because some of us are in front of you more than others. So the things that would happen would stand out much more. But some of yours might be in secret, but then some of yours are blatantly open. Still love you? Hallelujah. The love of God transcends my ability to hate you, even if I feel like hating you because of something you did or didn't do. And I'm not perfect, but at least I'm still pressing on. Like I said, this is my month. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get crazy. This is my month. What month is it? I turned 30 years old in Jesus. Hallelujah. I might just be beginning my earthly ministry, so watch out. I know it took a little bit to catch on. Wait a minute, what happened at 30? That's when Jesus entered his ministry. That's when the priests would enter into their office. But these are some staggering statistics that we as believers need to take heed to. Because our God expects all of us, not a part, not a portion. He doesn't want to come in and just, you know, it's like, this is the chair, okay? And this is the chair, this is your life, okay? And this is you coming in and sitting on the chair. And when you sit on the chair, that means you reign. So life revolves around you. So everything that you're involved in is just like one thing on the clock, one dial on the clock, if you will. All of these things, and in one of those areas is Jesus. Jesus, you occupy this part of my life, but then I got all of these other parts of my life that I have to occupy because I'm in control. And for the majority of Americans that claim that they are Christians, at least 45% of them don't believe that you are a priority because they don't believe that faith is the most important thing. But see, without faith, you can't please God for one. But if you don't have the faith to believe in Jesus the way Jesus wants you to believe him, you will be eternally lost, even though you do all the religious things like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus even said this. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, I'll just put it like this, you're going to perish. Well, what kind of righteousness can we come up with? We can't. It's his righteousness that we receive that puts us in right position with God to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That excels and exceeds all righteous acts and deeds that men can do, all the good works and efforts that we can do. You know, society wants to dictate to us, you know, like if we ain't actively involved in the community and making this a better place and making this a better place and making the world have more peace, doing all of these things, if we ain't doing those things, they don't think that we're doing our job. You know, the church is supposed to, you know, help the poor. The church is supposed to feed the hungry. The church is supposed to do all those things. Well, that's what Jesus did. Exactly, but that was not his entire ministry. That was not why the Son of God was manifest, to start a food bank. I'm not belittling that. I think we should get involved in that. But that's not why the Son of God was manifest. Why was he manifest? To destroy the works of the devil so that men can be free, families can be free, sons and daughters can be free to serve the one true and living God. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. This is why he was manifest. All we try and do is be good people and do good deeds and good works and do not preach the power of the gospel, we have done the world a disservice, let alone our God and Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God gives us his spirit. Aristus, God's spirit don't come into you and become weaker than what he is in me. As a matter of fact, if you would allow him, he'll become stronger in you than he is in me. Hard to imagine, I know. Hard to fathom, I know. But that's just how good our God is. Hallelujah. You don't deserve it, neither do I. The difference between you and I is he snatched me out of that stuff a long time ago. I celebrate 30 years of liberty and freedom and victory. I'm not trying to recover. I have overcome. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe and I walk in it. I ain't perfected. Excuse me. It's sanctified. I'm striving for the perfection. I'm striving to grow. I got a man of God who's ahead of me, and I just want to be able to reach those plateaus that he's reached in the kingdom of God and take as many as I can to that place. And as he goes higher, I want to go higher too, as long as we're in this, because there's only like 2 years that separate he and I. But that we ourselves will be able to take an assembly and all of those that are connected with them, take the church of the living God to the place that God wants us to be here in the United States of America, that we might see an outbreak of God's power and might. Hallelujah. Instead of living defeated, walking in victory. Amen.